What up, squad? Mizzy World Entertainment is back to present Mad Mizzy Sports NBA Edition, Episode 6, hosted by yours truly and my big bro, Raw Dog. What's the deal, bro?
Episode 6.
Yes, sir. And to start off Episode 6, since we had the disappointing, super disappointing season from Raw's beloved LA Lakers, we're going to start there with a topic that my big bro came up with. What's the topic, bro?
The topic was, are they the most disappointing sports team in history as far as the season? And my answer to that is yes. It was so much hype going into the season about the Lakers, this, the Lakers, that. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers was saying, oh, you might as well give them the ring now. Mm-hmm. And I said from the beginning, that shit was some cap, man. I knew that they wasn't going to be shit.
Right.
I didn't expect them to not really at least make the play-in, but I said they wouldn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. For them not to make the play-in tournament with that roster that you have, that's Hall of Famers, first ballot Hall of Famers.
Facts.
It's the biggest letdown in the history of sports, in my opinion.
Ooh, that's a hard one to argue. I'm gonna say top three most disappointing. I would say for me they probably are number one, because any other team that I would mention at least made the playoffs. So the other team that I was going to throw in there was the 04 Lakers that lost to the Pistons in the finals. Super stacked team. You still had Kobe. You still had Shaq. Then you brought along, I believe, Gary Payton was on that team.
Carl Malone was on that team.
Very disappointing team. Very disappointing outcome. And then the next one was going to be the 2011 Miami Heat. Also, a team that made the finals, at least. The most disappointing aspect about that team, you could say, is how maybe LeBron finished. I mean, not even maybe, but how LeBron finished, that's the one aspect that you can speak on. But other than that, they kind of lived up to the hype. So I would have to agree with Ro on this one and say, yes, in basketball. Are you saying sports overall? All teams? I mean, all team sports?
The biggest letdown. All sports. Because it's hype, man. Cause
I mean, I want to say one of those Yankees teams, but I can't put a specific year on that Yankees team. But, yeah, man, it's hard to top the hype that came with this Lakers team that proceeded with very, very, like, big letdowns. You know what I'm saying? Very, very big letdowns. But lead us into our next topic, bro. Thanks.
Me and my bro had a conversation this week, and I was telling him that I felt like Chris Paul is one of the more underappreciated players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And maybe sports period, but definitely the NBA. And I say that because he's definitely not underappreciated, but I mean, he's definitely not underrated, especially to any basketball fan. Everybody know how talented this dude is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you led four different franchises to their best records ever.
Franchise record and wins.
Right. So He's not underrated, but I feel like he's underappreciated by the average basketball fan, because when you go into the barbershops, you don't hear too many people talking about Chris Paul, man.
You don't.
They talk about LeBron James. They talk about Ja Morant. They talk about, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, Embiid and all these guys who are well-deserving of all the accolades and all the praise they get. Mm-hmm. But nobody never talks about Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm. Who deserves a lot more praise, like he said, in the barbershops, you get what I'm saying? In the average debate,
everyday folk, yeah.
The average debate that's going on, where you're mentioning great players that are doing their thing, I do think he deserves a lot more praise. Would I say he's one of the more underrated? I would say no. I think he goes through the same thing that a lot of players of his stature go through, where he's not flashy enough, especially when we talk about our community, where we talk about where we have these debates at. You know, the biggest thing is the flash, man. Yeah. Is you dunking on somebody?
Right.
Is you swatting something out the sky? You get what I'm saying? So a lot of
is you hanging with rappers on Instagram and shit like that.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Is you hitting the Instagram thotties and all that goofy stuff? So he's not into all that. He's more of a family man, more quiet, more secluded. And then you think about his role and what he means to the NBA and being one of the best captains ever play the game, one of the best floor managers to ever play the game. That's not something that ever gets praised. You get what I'm saying? When Jordan was doing his thing, you ain't hearing dudes, even though he's white, but you ain't hearing dudes saying, yo, John Stockton doing his thing, though.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? They ain't saying that.
Nobody give a fuck about that.
You feel what I'm saying? So, in retrospect, I think he's going through the same thing that a lot of people that of like his stature, that they're solid, great leaders, go through, and that's being underappreciated, bro. The leader quality is very underrated in general. You get what I'm saying? So I definitely think with that being his one of his best qualities, he's definitely overlooked. But I feel like a lot of dudes that had that quality and didn't have that flash and pizzazz to go with it as much definitely got overlooked. But like you said, to the average fan, he's still like some of like, I mean, not to the average fan, but to real basketball fans, he's like their favorite point guard. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's the dude that people say, oh, he's still the pure point guard and all that. You get what I'm saying? So in the inside the NBA circle, he still gets his love. But outside, I definitely feel as though he needs a lot more praise and just the general debate. You dig what I'm saying? Because his handle crazy, too. He never gets mentioned when we talk about best handle, dog. Yeah. People talk about Steph and Kyrie, of course. Like, well-deserved. But we ain't going to act like Chris Paul ain't bop a couple dudes out here now and again. You dig what I'm saying? Exactly. Quickly. You know what I'm saying? And then a little pretty finger roll. You dig what I'm saying? To follow it up, so we definitely need to give him more praise. But to shift the gear into Mizzy World's produced topics, who are your top three players in the game right now, 25 and younger? In order. I need it in order, Playboy.
In order?
I need it in order, Playboy.
So, if you're going one being the best, or...
Yeah, of course, one being the best.
So... I'm going to go Jason Tatum, man. I'm going to put him at number one.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go. It's going to be hard for me to do this, man. But I'm going to go.
Where you
going
to go?
I'm going Ja.
Ooh.
Ja Morant, number two.
I had a feeling my dude was going through something in there. I didn't think it was going to be that.
Number three, it's no surprise. I said this last week. I'm gonna go Melo Ball.
I tried to slip him up for y'all.
When I watch these dudes, first of all, what Ja done with Memphis is they play as a team, and this is the reason why I feel like, not to really get off subject, but I feel like they're going to be a sleeper team in the playoffs because they're not. What are they playing for? Like, in other words, like, they weren't supposed to be where they at. They are.
They don't have expectations.
They're beating legitimate teams.
Facts.
So
without Ja,
with him being hurt,
right.
So that's my top three, man. Like I said, I think Memphis is gonna be dangerous, but I gotta definitely put them three up there, man.
That's a hard one. That's a good three right there. I like that. All right, y'all know I'm gonna start at the top with it, man. At three, man. How can you go against this dude, man, Luka? I gotta go, Luka. Amazing. Been in the league. I think this is fourth year in the league. Three-time All-Star. His body type, 6'9", 6'10", point guard, strong, handle, step back, jump shot, got the whole package, and I think he's going to be an MVP someday. I mean, that's not going out on no limb or nothing. At number two, I'm going to go D-Book, man. He the dude that's 25 right on the dot, won't be 26 till October 30th. What's that, Halloween, I believe? So, yeah, man, how can you overlook D-Book? I feel like he's just coming into his own, so you can kind of forget him, but he did come I think a year out of Duke, he came right into the league. So he was young. He's in the seventh. I think this is the sixth or seventh year. Three-time All-Star. So I think D-Book, he got that killer instinct. And I just like the way he plays with a calm, collect demeanor on the court. At number one, I got to agree with you, Brody. Jason Tatum, man. For me, Jason Tatum is at number one.
I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised that you left. Job,
your
squad.
Job was going to be my honorable mention.
Okay.
My honorable mention. But I couldn't keep any of the other dudes off, honestly. I couldn't keep I feel like you got to put D-Book in there, especially them having
their record. Look at Memphis record. I mean, the Phoenix record.
Like, exactly. And then you look at they made the finals last year. I think the leap that he's taken has been into a superstar stardom type of leap, just like Ja Morant, but with a little more success. So I just want to give a little more praise to that. And, I mean, Ja's just super young. So it's like, the more and more we have these debates, the more Ja's name is going to be just, you know what I'm saying, stamped already.
Right.
But to speak on Jason Tatum a little bit, I got Jason Tatum at number one just because his athleticism, his size, like you can tell by his body structure that he works on his game. He's gotten a lot bigger, a lot stronger. The dude is amazing. And then, like he said, look at the Celtics. He's been the catalyst of them being basically the best team in the NBA since January. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the leap that he's taken has been tremendous. My final topic is, who is a bigger threat in the play-in tournament in general? I'm focusing more so on the Clippers or the Nets. Do you have another team that might be a sleeper team that you think may be even more of a threat to the to the rest of the field that's in the play-in tournament, or do you think it's going to be the Nets?
I think it's going to be the Nets, man. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think that the fact that they're eighth right now, Kevin Durant is hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry.
I mean, he's hungry, and he got a point to prove. Mm-hmm. Kyrie got a point he want to prove. Mm-hmm. You know, these dudes are out to point the finger and say, I fucking told you so.
Yep.
And they're going to say it just like that at the press conference.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can dig that.
And I think that's just, I think it's the Nets. To me, the Nets not even close. The Clippers, I'm not even worried about them. That's not even somebody, I would be happy to play the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm like, oh, that's Clippers. You know what I'm saying? Who play next round?
Okay.
That's how I would treat them. So I'm going to say the Nets.
Yeah, I don't think you can treat the Clippers like that. For me, I would say another sleeper team is probably Minnesota. If Cat can come in and keep dominating the way he's just been beating on everybody since, January as well. So if Cat can come in, he maybe be able to spark something up. But I'm going to lean towards the Clippers a little bit more simply because I feel like the Nets need Miami. I don't think they want the Celtics in that first round. I don't think they want the Celtics in that first round, Brody. And it's simply because of that defense, the length that they can throw away at Kevin Durant, and we know how fragile Kyrie can be. Now, if he's there and he's hunting, he's going to be amazing. But if something happens and he gets in his head or something like that, and it's Kevin Durant just against them Celtics, boy, oh boy. I think he may be able to handle the Miami Heat, but I don't know about the Boston Celtics. That's my fear with them. And for me, the Clippers, like, I feel like Tyronn Lue and the Clippers just in general over the past few years have shown a fight and an ability to adjust and play as a team, bro. Like, what they have, and to have Paul George come back right before the playoffs, I think they could be a scary out, especially if they fall into that seventh seed and have to face a young Memphis team that's not used to being in that atmosphere. It can get dark, just like I said, man. And they on a 3-game winning streak.
Playoff P.
Don't play my guy like that.
Playoff P. Pandemic P, whatever you want to call him. You know what I'm saying? Has not proven to me that he's capable of getting the job done. But we'll see.
I mean, I agree to a certain extent, but he's proven to be able to lead a team past the first round, at least. I mean, even them getting to the Western Conference Finals last year, that was amazing.
Yeah, man. Show me the jury, man.
You want to see the gold?
I want to see the fucking gold.
He said, I want to see the bling. You know what I'm saying? But, before we get out of here, with that being said, since you're saying the Nets are this big threat, what's your prediction? You backing off your Miami Heatles?
You know, I thought about that on my way over here. I can't back off the Heatles. I said they're a threat.
I don't think they're going to get that seventh seed.
I feel like Miami's still going to take it.
They got to play the Cavs in that first game.
Who, Miami?
No, the Nets. For the play-in tournament.
So.
Yeah.
But I really believe
so they probably get the seventh seed.
Miami is still going to come out the East. And I know people probably looking at just like, this nigga tripping. But I just feel like they are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're quiet right now, but I still feel like they are. Let's not forget, I mean, you got, what's my fucking guy name of Miami?
Tyler Hero
who's probably gonna get the sixth man of the year,
right? You know what I mean? Averaging 20 points a game off the bench.
I feel like they're gonna still come out the East, man. Of course, you know my West pick is still the Warriors, without a doubt. You know what I'm saying? So nothing's changed for me. I feel like I said, Brooklyn is a threat, but I still feel like Miami will come out the East.
I mean, I feel like Miami is probably gonna dodge that matchup regardless, because I don't feel as though Brooklyn is going to lose on purpose to get the 8 seed. So I feel as though they're going to win. They're going to get the 7 seed. They're going to face the Celtics in the first round. And I feel as though, yeah, Miami can get past Cleveland. I mean, yeah. But I'm still leaning towards the Bucks. I feel like they've been rounding more and more into form. I feel like Giannis has been rounding more and more into his MVP form and the form that he was in the playoffs last year when he had that deep run. I'm just strong on the Bucks right now. But, you know, we ain't changing on the West Coast. It's Warriors. Thanks. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm excited to see them back, and I'm glad to see Steph talking that they're going to be ready for whoever they see. So I like that talk. You dig what I'm saying? But, yeah, that's episode 6, man. Mad Mizzy Sports, Mizzy World Entertainment. Y'all know what it is. NBA edition. Like, comment, share. Let us know what y'all think. Gang.